Yes, it is I, Richard Dixon, Talk995.com. And I have got the delicious, delightful, fresh, clean, Aqua Systems water right here in my handy dandy Aqua Systems bottle. Yeah. I got this cool, it's like a Yeti, but it's a bottle. And I fill it up with water every morning and bring it to work because our water here is terrible. We're hoping to change that by getting an Aqua Systems system right here at work. Wouldn't that be lovely? You betcha. Aqua Systems can get fresh, clean, soft, wonderful water into your home for less than you think with no commission salespeople and a water test that is free. I've heard from people who say, well, I had Aqua Systems come by and they did everything and they checked the water and it was awful and I really want what they had, but they haven't called me back. I said, well, call them. That's the low-pressure system that I'm talking about, is that they're not going to be constantly, but they give you the information, and then they get out of the way. You might hear from them once, like, hey, did you like that? You know, but other than that, so many people are just hammering. That's not how they do business at Aqua Systems. Now, you can get just a water cooler, if you like, if you're renting in, you know, and get the water there, which is very inexpensive. It'll do away with you having to buy those little bottles of water forever, okay? But getting a whole home system means that you use less soap, your shower remains cleaner, your skin is softer and so much nicer and better, and everything is cleaner. Trust me on this. 383-3999, 383-3999, Aqua Systems. They're online at iwantgreatwater.com, iwantgreatwater.com. Jeffrey Lord is with us, the American Spectator Conservative Review, thejeffreylord.com, Newsmax TV. He's everywhere, and right now he is here. Greetings, Jeffrey, and how are you today?
Hello there, my friend Richard, on a lovely, very hot day here in the middle of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Getting a little warmer here as well. Looking to break 97, 98 later this week. Kind of looking forward to it. Haven't had a lot of heat here.
I think I talked to you enough, Richard, that you're now Alabamizing central Pennsylvania.
That's what we're doing. It's our fault. I blame myself entirely. I see that Joe Biden is going to pay another visit to your neck of the woods. Is it a coinkydinky that the president continues to pop up in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, or do you think something else is afoot there?
No, something else is afoot here, and we are having an ongoing battle over the elections with a Pennsylvania state senator by the name of Doug Mastriano, who was trying to get an audit of various counties for the the way they counted the ballots in the 2020 election. And he's being sat on by the Pennsylvania Secretary of State, who is an appointee of the Democratic governor. So I have absolutely no doubt that the real reason here is perhaps 2024, 2022, when we have a governor's race with a Democratic governor who can no longer run for reelection, and a Senate race with a bona fide socialist likely to get the Democratic nomination. He is at the moment the lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania. And it's been in the news, Richard, you will find this amusing, for doing a Zoom call with those Texas legislators in Washington and insisting that there is no voter fraud in Pennsylvania, to which I answered in this morning's American Spectator with case-by-case-by-case incident of voter fraud where people have been indicted and gone to jail.
Oh, yeah. Of course there is. Look, but the things that you cite where it's cut and dried and where there's a mountain of evidence, they tend to be rarer. You know, I caution my listeners against getting their hopes, flaming high about the Arizona audit, about the Fulton County audit, because, there's not going to be a giant arrow and a sound, smoking gun. What there is what we have out of Arizona that we know of, which is a lot of questions. Well, there's all these ballots that don't have these numbers on them, and we don't know if they were run through once or they were run through 20 times or if they both got counted. We don't have any idea. There's all these other ballots over here. They weren't mailed out, but they may have been handed out. And we're not really sure about that because we're unable to trace them back to the source, And again, so many more. The numbers are not even, we know that. The number of people that voted in Arizona, we have a list of that. And the number of votes is not jibing. That's something that the Senate president has already made known. And we've certainly found that in Fulton County as well, where they know for a fact that several batches were run twice But, you know, the idea that we're going to uncover the kind of bold, declarative evidence that shows beyond a shadow of a doubt that the fix was in, I don't see it, because the guys who were engaged in this were, they were prepared to cover their tracks, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the real problem here is to uncover exactly what happened so that we know exactly how to prevent it the next time
around.
And when I say the next time around here in Pennsylvania, I don't mean 2024, I mean 2022.
Sure.
When you've got a situation where the governor of Pennsylvania can instruct the Secretary of State to do things that are a blatant violation of the Pennsylvania state constitution, and you've got a serious problem on your hands here.
Sure.
And that needs to be taken care of.
You're talking about the acceptance of ballots well after the date that they should have been accepted, in this case, Election Day. They had more coming in after that, right?
Right. That is correct. And, in essence, violating the U.S. Constitution, which quite specifically gives the state legislature here and in every other state the power to determine the rules for the election.
Yeah, yeah. Consent decrees, no. Governors, no. Election panels and secretaries of state, no. The legislature is supposed to set the rules. And we saw that blown up not just in Pennsylvania. We saw it happen in Georgia. We saw it happen in Michigan. We saw it happen in Wisconsin. We saw it happen in Arizona, interestingly. So we'll see how this whole thing plays out. We'll see how Arizona plays out. And then we'll see if Pennsylvania is able to follow suit. I have questions about that, because there seems to be just such a mountain of resistance to it, which I have a question about in and of itself. If you believe, like Joe Biden says, that this was the freest, fairest election in the history of humankind, why do you care if we go back and look at it?
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, all of this looks pretty incriminating.
Well, the one thing we can say, it's not going to overturn. I mean, Joe Biden's not going to be thrown out of office. Everything was followed according to the letter from that point forward. The votes were taken in Congress. Everything was signed off on. Mike Pence signed off on it. And Joe Biden was instituted into the seat. You know, it's not like we're going to snatch that away from him. Legally, there is no mechanism for which that to happen. So what could possibly be wrong with going back and looking at the numbers?
That's right. Well, what they're afraid to find out is that they really did screw things up, and quite deliberately so. That's what they're really concerned about, and of course, from that flows the idea that they would do it again if not called out.
Well, I think they did it twice in Georgia. You know, they're kind of like, we got away with it the first time, we'll do it again 3 weeks later. I mean, come on. I don't think anybody really, considering that they had already harvested God knows how many ballots by the time Election Day came around for their special election for senators. I don't think anybody could really make the case.
What they're trying to do, in essence, is rules that were rules, I say that with quotes around it, that were put in place because of the pandemic. They want to make those the norm, and that is definitely not a good idea.
No, and to claim that going back to the way things were before the COVID rules is somehow racist is kind of offensive to everybody who voted in 2008 and 2012.
Right.
It's kind of like, wait a minute, people still voted. They had record turnouts in those years. What are you talking about? How could that possibly be racist? Nobody was complaining that
they were
racist then.
And you've probably seen this in some of your audience as well. Election night of 2016 on CNN, I was paired with my friend Van Jones, and Van famously goes into a thing about this is a white lash in all of this. And, you know, you can just tell from the look on my face. What I really wanted to say was, Van, my Commonwealth of Pennsylvania voted twice for Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012.
Right.
Tonight they voted for Donald Trump. If it's racist now, why wasn't it racist then? I mean, in other words, they voted for the person they wanted and thought was the better person, and so that meant Obama twice. And so tonight it was Donald Trump. I mean, it's the race has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I recently saw a poll. Rasmussen does a real bang up work with this. They were the closest in the 2020 and the 2016 elections to getting the numbers dead on. They were right there on the edge of it anyway. But they said at this point in his presidency, Joe Biden's approval numbers are actually below Donald Trump's, but they're both below Barack Obama. You know, neither one of them. They're both about 3 points. Well, I think Trump is 3 points down from Obama and Biden is 4 or 5. So, I mean, the guy still carries some clout, obviously.
Yeah, he does. I mean, and I certainly will admit this, Barack Obama has a great personality, you know. I mean, he's got the big smile, he's got the friendly personality. People genuinely liked him. And that's before any voting was done on any positions of the day. My view is that when it comes down to things for the Biden presidency, when people are paying over $3 for gas, and the price of everything in the grocery store is going up, that is why there will be a negative verdict eventually on the Biden presidency.
Yeah, people do tend to vote with their wallet. Hold on, if you would, please, Jeffrey. We've got to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the Durham report. We'll talk a little bit about unemployment numbers. It's sort of interesting, a new poll out on that as well. We'll be back in a moment. Stick around. Had a little Led Zeppelin fest myself yesterday. When I was putting together my ridiculously early birthday present, I slapped on two of my favorite Zeppelin albums, Three and Presence, and enjoyed them both immensely. They're the two that tend to get left by the wayside by most rock aficionados, but I don't know. I just dig those two in particular for some reason. That, of course, is off of two. Three is just criminally underrated by most. 1-18-TALK-99-5, talk995.com, Parrot Structural Services, parrotss.com, the place to go if you need to fix your foundation or if you think you need to fix your foundation and you're not really sure, you can go and see about the cracking and the crumbling and the leaning and if any of these things actually fit the bill as some sort of problem. If the website doesn't answer your question, then obviously a call is in order, 668-2626. They'll come by, give you the once-over, give you a diagnosis, tell you to get a structural engineer if you're uncomfortable and you want to be absolutely certain because you can't go wrong with a structural engineer, right? 668-2626, online at parrotss.com, licensed, bonded, insured, E-Verify compliant. These are the guys you need. They're the only ones I trust with my foundation. You should trust them as well. Jeffrey Lord is with us, American Spectator, Conservative Review, thejeffreylord.com, newsmax.com, Newsmax TV. And Jeffrey, the Department of Justice has agreed that the Durham report should be made public when it's released, but we have no earthly idea when that's going to be. We're closing in on a year from the last time that Donald Trump was pressuring. We need to get this report out. Let's go. John Dunham just being being really, really fastidious? Is he just slow? Is there nothing to see here? What do you make of it all?
Yeah, I started out with high hopes, and I guess I'm still clinging to a shred or two of them. I have heard people with some knowledge say that, in fact, he's just being extra detailed and all of this sort of thing, and that when it is released, it will be particularly damning. I honestly have no idea at this point, but it is disturbing that it has taken this long to do. I frankly thought it should have been done and released before Donald Trump left the White House, and here we are closing in on soon to be the year of marking the election. And you know, Richard, I'd like to think before you and I leave this planet at the age of 150 that it gets released.
Well, you'll make it to 150. I won't make it past 142. I can tell you that. Right. The way I've been living my life, I mean, ooh, it's crazy. Nearly 2 million Americans, according to a recent poll, have turned down jobs so that they could stay on unemployment. Nearly 2 million Americans. Well, a lot of the states, you know, have loosened unemployment restrictions and have not tightened them back up since COVID. And a lot of them are holding on to that extra $300 a week from the federal government, which sort of sets up a false dichotomy. I mean, there was a time when if you were offered a job, it was a choice between going to work for this, you know, maybe $300 or $400 a week, maybe $500 a week, or having nothing or having a little bit with $220 a week of unemployment. Now you've got this false dichotomy because you're getting an extra $300 thrown in from the federal government. And so that option of staying home looks a whole lot better, right? I mean, 1.8 million yeah. Americans turning down job offers. Would you say it might be time to end this this experiment
yes.
early?
Absolutely. And I suspect where you are is exactly the same as where I am. Every place I drive around here, there are now hiring signs. They're all over the place. And the fact that they can't get people to fill these positions is, I think, a direct result of what I think some people thought was a good idea in the middle of the pandemic to help people. But, you know, at this point, people need to go back to work and take these jobs and get off, as the old-fashioned word goes, the dole.
We're not experiencing that to the same degree a lot of people are, because WalletHub, who did this poll, also found 9 of the 10 states with the most robust labor market recoveries, including Vermont, Utah, Nebraska, South Dakota, Idaho, New Hampshire, Alabama, Kansas, Montana, and Oklahoma have Republican governors, and we have done away with the extra $300 already. By doing away with that, you know, it's amazing how quickly the help wanted signs started disappearing once that
yeah.
happened.
Well, you know, it's just plain old-fashioned common sense. If you're going to get paid $300 to stay home, why go out the door?
Well, you're asking
particularly if you're being frightened to death that to go out the door is going to result in your end. You know, I mean, yeah. this is just not good.
We're certainly getting some of that. There's a lot of some people are saying it is because of COVID. Some people, it's childcare, and so they're saying, "All right, well, I can do this," but
right.
which is something that's going to have to be handled at one point or another in this country. You know, I think the most woke corporations are actually providing that because it helps them get the best possible workforce. So you find daycares inside of a lot of Fortune 500 companies, which sounds weird, but they figured out, and that's the free market at work, right?
Right, right. I mean, that is how we traditionally should solve our problems here, is individual initiative and private sector, et cetera. But at the moment, we've got a problem on our hands.
The nanny state looms large.
Yes.
Thank you, Jeffrey. A pleasure as always. We'll do it again next Monday if you are of a mind to, my friend.
I will be. Absolutely.
Right. Take care,
all
my
right,
friend.
See ya.
There you go.
Yep.
Jeffrey Lord, American Spectator, Conservative Review, here every Monday. Yeah, I saw somewhere the other day, well, see, if people don't go to work, then finally they'll offer you the wage you deserve. And I'm like, yes, that's free market economics. I've been talking about it forever. That's exactly how it works. If you say, I will not do your job for $8, and they say, all right, we'll pay 10. Nope. All right, we'll pay 12. Nope. All right, we'll pay 14. Bingo. You got it. Free market economics. It's how it works. First News Now, back in a moment. Richard Dixon, Crystal Dixon. Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Yeah, it's interesting. I hear I hear piano and I hear bass and of course drums, and that's a trio right there, but I know there's a guitar solo in this song at some point, so they must have brought a guitar in at one point, but I never noticed that there's not like any rhythm guitar on this. I mean, he figured out a way to put a lot of sound out of a very few instruments. But then when he went on the road for Running on Empty, he brought, you know, he brought the entire crew. 132 Talk 99.5, Talk 99.5.com. That's Jackson Brown. Of course, I am Richard Dixon, and Mr. Bugs takes good care of me. They sprayed for mosquitoes last week, which is why I was able to spend some time outside over the weekend and not get eaten alive. It was some kind of nice. I love me some Mr. Bugs. I love the job they do. I love the work that they put in. I love the fact that they only, they pay and they take such good care of their employees that they keep the same people around for a long, long, long time. So I know when my guy shows up, it's always going to be my guy. When my mosquito guy shows up, it's always going to be my mosquito guy. And starting this week, my termite bond guy is going to show up, and it's going to be my termite bond guy. That's what you're after, right? Long-term relationships from people who know what they're doing and go through continuing education classes so they can beat the bad stuff before it ever hits. That's Mr. Bugs, MRBUGGS, MrBugs.com. They know what bugs you. I am here with my daughter, Crystal Dixon, and Texas and Oklahoma took the first official step to leaving the Big 12 for the Southeastern Conference. today.
It's a smart way they did it.
They said, we are not going to be honoring our media rights contracts past their current expiration in 2025. I'm thinking maybe they're not going to honor them even up until 2025, right?
Well, what they're hoping is that when they announce this, the other schools will start ditching the conference, so eventually the Big 12 dissolves before.
Well, they'll be down to six at that point, won't they?
Right now, if they leave, they'd be eight.
Okay.
So, but Kansas and Iowa State may head to the Big Ten.
Yeah, that'd be a good place for
them. That would bring them to six.
Yeah.
West Virginia could head to the ACC, which would bring them to five.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other five would be hoping the Pac-12 would take them on.
Please take us. Please, we need somewhere. You've got to take me in, sir. Here we are without a conference. I thought the idea of four super conferences, that was floated some time ago. I know Spud talked about it last week on this show. But the idea of four super conferences of 16 teams each was an idea that made a certain amount of sense to me. What I don't really understand, and I like both Texas and Oklahoma, and I've rooted for them over the years for sure. But what I don't understand is why Texas A&M is so bent out of shape about Texas potentially joining the conference that they're already in.
It would be like if Auburn and Alabama were in separate conferences.
Yeah.
And one had a particular little brother syndrome, and they tried to establish their own identity, and then Big Brother shows up.
Hmm.
That's basically what it is.
I don't know. I'm okay with it. I mean, I get it. I think they're going to need to get over it. On the other hand, if they leave, we can always just go snag Virginia, right? We could just go get Virginia. I've always liked Virginia.
That would be interesting.
Virginia Tech is what I'm thinking of, not Virginia.
The current media rights for the SEC, they were $46 million, just the media rights.
Mm-hmm.
With Texas and Oklahoma, the estimates have it between $65 and $75
million
per year.
Woo!
So
that could be huge.
A&M may complain about it, mm-hmm. but when they get that big revenue check,
yeah,
they'll be like, okay.
Plus, they already have that rivalry. You know, they've got, of course, Texas and Oklahoma have a rivalry with each other. They call it the Red River rivalry. Back when I lived in that part of the world, I thought that was the biggest football rivalry ever. Ha! Little did I know. Then you get to Alabama and you go, oh, yeah, this is so much bigger. But Texas and Texas A&M have their own little rivalry between each other. I always say, you know, you can only have two decent rivals, you know, in the case of Auburn. For the longest time, our rivals were Alabama and Florida. We always had a real problem with Florida. But then we stopped playing them every season. We don't play Florida every season at Auburn. We play them, you know, a lot of seasons, but not all of them. So then it became kind of Georgia. But it's one of the most friendly rivalries ever.
But here's one of the best parts. With the 16-team SEC, one proposal has Alabama and Auburn moving to the east. So Auburn would basically have all their old rivals.
Yeah.
And Alabama would have to have a cross-divisional rival with LSU.
Mm-hmm.
But they'd have their other two big rivals in Tennessee and Auburn in the same division. And another one is they divide the SEC into what is called the pods. And you have four-team pods. And you have 2 weekends of SEC championship football where you have a semifinal and then a final.
Hmm. If you add that to the 12 team, you know.
You could possibly end up playing 18 games in a season. Yes.
Football in February. I like it. Bring it on. I mean, the NFL does it. Why don't we? Come on.
And the NFL's going to keep pushing until eventually Super Bowl's President's Day weekend.
I'm okay with that. I don't care. I don't really watch the NFL, so it doesn't make a whole lot of difference to me. Joe Biden announcing the end to combat missions in Iraq. We would carry it, but our research shows that when we put Joe Biden on these airwaves, people turn away. So we're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to listen to. It's like having a conversation with Grandpa. What? What'd you say? What? What did the guy say? With the hair? The hair, the thing? He said, yes, okay.
He does bear a striking resemblance to the statue that's here next to him.
He does, really. It's a little frightening, the two of them.
Kind of a melting kind of guy.
Side by side.
Is that Bobby Kennedy?
I don't know who that is. I guess it could be Bobby Kennedy, although
whoever it is, he's melting.
It's not a good look. Anyway, so there's that. The SEC possibly about to expand and go through some growing pains. Speaking of growing pains, Arby's has introduced a new market fresh Southwest chicken avocado wrap. I didn't pass along a lot to my daughter, but I did pass along my weak eyesight and my avocado allergy. So I feel very proud of this. Market Fresh Southwest Chicken Avocado Wrap features sliced and seasoned slow-roasted chicken with spicy avocado spread, chili lime ranch, lettuce, tomato, and onion in an artisan wrap. The new wrap available a la carte or as part of a meal served with a side of the brand's crinkle fries and a drink. Did you hear that Arby's no longer sells the potato cakes?
No.
Yep.
What?
Nationwide. Ugh. They've stopped selling the potato cakes. They started selling regular fries. For my money, the potato cake was the greatest fast food potato, bar none.
Absolutely.
And it's over now. It's done.
Remember they had those potato poppers with the cheese mm-hmm. and the mashed potatoes and the bacon inside?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was really where it was at. Mm. I would go to Arby's specifically for those.
I also passed along my love of food. I should mention that. Burger King unveiling a new Garlic and Bacon King. So when you've got that big meeting with the head honcho, go ahead and scarf one of these down and then breathe all over him. Also, the new Breakfast Bacon King sandwich. What exactly is this? Okay. The Garlic and Bacon King features 2 quarter-pound flame-grilled beef patties topped with 3 half-slices of bacon. Half slices? Come on. Come on, Burger King. New garlic pieces. It literally is sliced cloves of garlic, all right? Not like they sliced them in Goodfellas. Like, you can't see through these. They're kind of garlic chips.
They're chunky garlic.
Garlic chips. 2 slices of American cheese and mayo on a soft sesame seed bun. The new Breakfast Bacon King, a brioche bun sandwiching a fully folded fluffy egg, 1 sausage patty, 2 full slices of bacon, 2 slices of American cheese, a new maple buttery sauce, and, of course, a chest spreader. They all come together. I tell you what, Burger King's working hard to try to get my business here. I love garlic. I love bacon. They seem to want me to drop by. I'm not going to still because I know what their service is like. But they seem to be working hard on trying to get my business.
If you order it tonight, mm-hmm. it'll be ready tomorrow.
Okay. I can go actually just wait. Use the BK app, the BK Lounge. There is, near my home, there is a Jack's and a Burger King. I got busted the other day. That Jack's near your house didn't get torn down. It's not that one. The one in Fultondale, okay? The one in Fultondale. I drive past it to get on the interstate, okay? That's the one that was there, had the sign up that said, closed for remodeling, and the place had just been leveled, like there was never a building there, okay? But if you go just a couple of blocks away, you'll find a Jack's and a Burger King side by side. You can't get into that Jack's at almost any time of day. That Jack's is slammed pretty much from the moment they open in the morning until late into the evening.
Traffic delay?
Yes, the drive-through line is crazy. And the Burger King just sits there with employees looking wistfully across the parking lot of the Jack's and going, I wonder if they're hiring. Because there's nothing
that
going.
Burger King looks, it's dead almost always.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like it's just, just waiting for someone to come along and dig it a hole. Maybe we should go over there and get the big bacon garlic king thing and just see, But maybe there's a reason why no one's going to that. I don't know. If you love gas station pizza, the good news is you're in luck. The new Chicken Bacon Ranch pizza is returning to Hunt Brothers Pizza lineup today. Woohoo!
Chicken Bacon Ranch.
Chicken Bacon Ranch pizza.
And the Hunt Brothers is what they sell at 7-Eleven, correct?
Well, they sell it. We don't have 7-Elevens here. Okay.
What?
There's no 7-Eleven here. It was a dirty little deal.
Yeah. We don't have 7-Eleven here.
It was made between Circle K and 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven said, we will take Florida. Mm. You can have Alabama.
It's a turf war.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so,
I understand.
Yeah. It's sad because I really do like 7-Eleven. They
Slurpees are way better than Icy's.
I don't like either of them. I can tell you that right now.
Well, but you're just uncultured swine.
I can tell you that what they've got rolling on the rollers at 7-Eleven is better than what you're finding at Circle K.
That was one of my favorite things. Whenever we go to Florida, we always stop at a 7-Eleven. Because the food there is better, the Slurpees are better, and you can buy lottery tickets.
The great taquitos alone.
Oh, yeah, the taquitos are worth the price of admission. And then when you get, like, in the morning, they've got that big old bin full of already hot breakfast sandwiches just all wrapped up. You just grab the one that's a sausage, egg, and cheese or bacon, egg, and cheese or whatever. And it's cheap, and you're on the road, and it's faster than having to go through a drive-through line. Plus, you were able to get gas. I wish we had 7-Eleven. Anyway, back for its seventh curtain call, the Chicken Bacon Ranch Pizza features a combination of creamy ranch sauce, all-natural chicken breast, 100% natural part skim mozzarella and cheddar cheeses, crispy bacon, and a sprinkling of the brand's signature just right spice. It's right is spelled R-I-T-E.
Naturally.
That's how it's signature.
Like Rite Aid.
Yes, which is no longer in business. The Chicken Bacon Ranch Pizza will be available in two options, including a made-to-order large 12-inch whole pizza. Who is ordering an entire Hunt Brothers pizza?
Let me tell you.
I would. Mm-hmm.
Where we used to live, yeah, in Union Chapel, which is right outside of Jasper in between Cordova, they would have people come there and order Hunt's Brothers pizzas to go because it was closer to go there than driving to Jasper or Summerton to get Domino's.
So they just made do with gas station pizzas.
They
did. You're telling me. This is right up there with ordering, you know, CeCe's. You're actually going to CeCe's and ordering a pizza. Everybody knows CeCe's pizza is crappy, but the point is you can get a lot of it on the buffet for very little money.
And did you see what they added?
I did. As a matter of fact, it's funny you mentioned this. I happen to have the story right here. New spicy jalapeno and zesty pepperoni poppers. Mm-hmm.
Snap.
It looks interesting. Available for pickup or delivery at CeCe's locations nationwide. New crispy, cheesy, and savory poppers. Carry a suggested price of $3.99 for an order of 12, which includes a choice between a 2-ounce side of ranch or marinara for dipping. Basically, they take some pizza dough and they wrap it almost like it's a cinnamon roll, right? Except instead of cinnamon, they're laying down cheese and pepperoni with one and cheese and jalapenos with the other, and they roll them up and they cut them into slices and then they bake them, and it looks absolutely delicious. But who the hell is having CeCe's deliver pizza? That's not what CeCe's is for. CeCe's is to shovel as much pizza into your face as possible at their buffet for $5.99. All right?
Yes.
Can we be straight about this? That's the thing about it. It's two things. It's terrible, and there's lots of it. Come on. What's not to love? It's 1:46. Got to take a break. Back in a moment. Stick around. Five rhythm guitarists all together, actually kind of came together as a bit of a coincidence. George Harrison was, he had put out an album called Cloud Nine, and they were releasing singles from it, okay? And he was looking for a backing single to put on. I think it was When We Was Fab. I could be wrong on that, but he was looking to put a backing single on, and he was talking to his buddy Jeff Lynne about this. And he said, you know, I think maybe I don't want to burn another song off the album. So I'm thinking about just recording something. I got a couple of things in mind. Handle With Care was the one that he specifically had written and was ready to go with. And he said, but I don't know. And would you do it with me? And Jeff Lynne was like, yeah, I'd be happy to. I'd love to. As a matter of fact, I wonder if we could do this at Bob's studio. And and George said, Bob who? He said, Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan has a studio here. Did you know that? He said, I had no idea. He goes, all right, well, let's go over there and give it a try. And he goes, you know who else would be helpful? I'm currently producing an album with Roy Orbison. And Harrison was like, that would be insane if we could get you and Orbison and Bob Dylan on the same track. He said, well, we're just using Bob's studio. We're not doing anything. Bob's not going to be a part of this. We're just using his studio. And he's like, oh, okay. All right, never mind. So they go and they run the idea past Dylan. And he goes, yeah, you can use the studio. Can I be on it? And Harrison's like, well, I guess, sure. Yeah, if you want to be on it, you could be on it. And he goes, okay, I got the perfect guitar for this, but it's not here. It's at Tom Petty's house. We got to go pick it up. And so they go over there and they tell Tom Petty what they're doing. And Petty goes, oh, I got to be a part of this. And so that's how the Traveling Wilburys came about. It was just a coincidence of the old stone rolling down the hill, the snowball that continues to pick up and grow as it goes. They might have had more success, but Roy Orbison passing away really kind of put a damper on things. Having one of your members die tends to slow things down a lot for the group. Also, his mail and phone calls tapered off. It's 1:52. Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Monica Thatch, Keller Williams Trustful, my real estate agent, who ought to be yours. She is so good at what she does because she has studied, she has paid close attention, and of course she has experience. You know, here's the thing. Good judgment comes from bad experiences, right? Bad experiences comes from bad judgment. And so, you know, you got to kind of make a lot of mistakes as you're going along in the real estate world. And I'm not saying that Monica's made them all, but she's made a few in her time. The good news is they're way in the past. What you don't want to do is end up with one of these newbies who's making those mistakes right now. You don't want to be a new real estate agent's mistake. No, you want to be with somebody who knows what they're doing. Monica Thatch is that person. That's why I trust her implicitly. She found me my house. She will find my kid her house when the time comes. And anybody else who wants one, you just need to call Monica Thatch, Keller Williams Trustful, 229-1865, 229-1865, the right person for the right job. Did you know that there is such a thing as a Bob Ross waffle maker?
I did not, but now I need one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can actually, I mean, they make them like in the shape of Mickey Mouse's heads and whatever. Mm-hmm. And now Uncanny Brands has come up with a waffle maker bearing the face of the big-haired, big-hearted painter. You can buy one online. Fill the mold of Ross's face in the middle for a 6-inch waffle, or you can fill the entire circular plate for a 7-inch one. If you go for the larger of the two, Ross's face will be elevated in the center of your creation, surrounded by a flat border. It's a happy little waffle maker is what it is, and you should rush right out and pick one up. The Bob Ross waffle maker available from Uncanny Brands. Found locally at a computer near you. Back in a moment. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5.